Brother and Papa Bear were going fishing. They had their rods and reels. They had their hooks and bobbers. Most important, they had their bait, a nice can of worms. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and it's another carpisode. Now, what's a carpisode? You may be asking yourself. A carpisode is an episode of Deep in Bear Country that I record in the comfort of my beautiful car because it's a nice day and I feel like being out in the sun. And my car is comfy, so if you hear any rumbling, that's just my car being so happy that I'm sitting so close to it. Now, why would I record in my car? Why not in the comfort of my own home? Because sometimes I feel the impulse to just record an episode because it's fresh in my head, because I feel like recording. I am not driving at the moment. I'm just in my car. I'm outside. I'm in my car. It's a nice day. Carpisode. So welcome to this special carpisode in which I am covering, the Berenstain Bears... Say please and thank you. Now, if you're confused and wondering, didn't I just do the Berenstain Bears say please and thank you? Well, this is not the same book at all. This is not in any wise the book, the Berenstain Bears say please and thank you, that you may be familiar with. This is the Berenstain Bears say please and thank you from 2011, which is quite a jump ahead, but I really wanted to cover this because it's called the same thing, and I got it from the library, and I thought maybe it was worth looking at. And I have it, and I have to return it, so I may as well cover it. This is a large format book from 2011. It is published by HarperCollins Children's. It's a big, big storybook, and not only is it a storybook, it contains 8 stories about saying please, thank you, and a multitude of other things. 8 complete stories, and in this episode, I'm going to be covering 7 of them. Why 7? Because I gotta save one for the Patreon, folks. That's right, go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Subscribe and you'll get my bonus episodes for as little as $1 a month, including the final story of the Berenstain Bears, say please and thank you. But what is this book about? What happens in this book? And are these stories really worth looking at? Do they really teach us anything about saying please and thank you? We didn't already learn from my extensive coverage of the words please and thank you last week. Well, they start off slow, and then they start to grow. And then before you know, fiddle-dee-do, I don't have another rhyme. But before you know it, they actually do make some actually astute points. And I'm going to say actually again, because actually, it's an awesome word. So let's just go through these stories, one after another, 1 through 7, not 8. 1 through 7. And we'll see what they have to teach us, if they have anything to teach us. Hint, they do have stuff to teach us. Also hint, this is a Mike Berenstain book, so there's attention to certain details that I find amusing. And also, the illustrations are very much Mike illustrations. They look different than the illustrations we're used to. He draws the bears differently. He draws them a little lankier. He draws them in poses we don't usually see them. But let's hit the road. And what is that road? It's the road to please and thank you. The first story is called Please, and it is about Papa and Brother going fishing. We get a little education right off the bat as to what a bobber is. So that's cool, I guess. Bobbers, they make the line float on top of the water, and if the bobber goes underwater, that means that a fish got the bait. And lo and behold, Brother catches a sunfish, and apparently they're only fishing for sport because they let the fine fat, as they call it, sunfish go. But in the illustration, you can clearly see that the sunfish is in distress. It's making a shocked and sad face. It is not happy at being hooked, because as we all know, when you hook a fish, the hook goes through its face. It's terrible. It's like, wow, this poor traumatized little fishy. I feel actually really bad for it. Brother Bear is waving goodbye, and the fish is like, see ya. Because you just hooked a fish, an animal's face, and then you let it go. In any case, it's terrible. And Brother hits a very dynamic Mike pose when he's pulling that fish up. Mike likes drawing the bears in these sort of extreme, almost comic booky poses while they're doing their stuff. So he's catching the fish. Papa is shocked. Papa, of course, just wants to sleep because that's why he goes fishing. But here's what we get to the meat of the story. Brother Bear says, pass the worms. and Papa chastises him for not saying please. Now, to me, the infraction wasn't the lack of please, but the phrasing of the request, demanding rather than requesting, saying pass the worms instead of could you pass the worms, or would you pass the worms, or Papa, could you give me another worm? Of course, please is always very nice. It's very nice to add that, but to me, the rudeness of brother was simply saying pass the worms and not saying would you pass the worms? Or could you pass the worms? It's always important to be polite, but the story doesn't go very far as to explaining why it's important to be polite. I mean, obviously, I covered the meaning of please, that it's a way of, you know, softening a request, softening a demand even. But to me, the rudeness comes from making a demand as opposed to making it a request, whether you use the word please or not. So, yes, use please, but remember that you're not the boss of anyone in this situation, so be polite. Just be polite in general. And Papa goes to sleep, and Brother goes to catch another fish. He also says it's polite, important to be polite even when you're fishing. I guess that's our lesson. Be polite even when fishing. Our next story is called Thank You! Exclamation point. And Brother, Sister, and Honey, because remember, Honey Bear is a member of this family, are making mud pies. And so I find this already off the top of the, like, it's very weird because of their age differences. They're all sitting making mud pies. Like, not like just like amateur mud pies either. Like, they have a hose running into a pit making the mud. They have pie tins. They're filling the tins with the mud. And then they set up a fresh baked mud pie stand, 5 cents each, to sell their mud pies. Now, this is something that I can see Honey Bear doing, maybe even Sister Bear doing. But it seems wild that a cub like Brother would be participating in this activity. All I can assume is that, since this is canon, it's showing that Brother and possibly Sister are simply being supportive siblings. This is something that Honey Bear is interested in, something Honey Bear likes doing, and so they're like, you know what, we'll play along, we'll go along, we're good sports, we're good siblings. Here's an example of how to be a good sibling. You just play your little sibling's game. You just do what they find interesting, and you be a supportive sibling. And I like that. I like that lesson. So whether or not it's out of, you know, character for them, or out of like what you might assume a person of that age might be interested in, it's cool that they're doing it. Really, really cool. So they set up this mud pie stand, and they get a few passersby. First, it's Too Tall and his gang saying that they don't want stupid mud pies, all right? And Queenie and her friends ride by on bikes, and they're like, we can't eat mud, and they keep going by on their bikes. Brother and Sister's actual friends walk by, and they're like, oh, we don't have any money, which is, you know, a polite way of saying what basically what Too Tall said. This is not cool. Finally, the mayor and Mrs. Honeypot pull up in their limousine. The mayor is driving his own limousine, by the way, no chauffeur. And Mrs. Honeypot offers to buy all the pies. Now, why are they buying pies? I don't know. Are they buying votes? Is this how they, like, do public relations out in the neighborhood? They ride around and just see what good deeds they can do. By the way, are these pies wet or are they dry? Have they hardened? Is this something that's like now art, like a mud pie? They look like pies, but they also seem to be a little sloppy. But how are they going to transport these? There's no bags. We never actually see them loading up their limousine with the pies. Are they heavy? So the lesson is strange because it focuses on the fact that when Mrs. Honeypot offers to buy the pies, none of the cubs say thank you. Mrs. Honeypot, though, says, shouldn't you say something now? And the cubs all stammer out, thank you, thanks, thanks, thank you. And then she says, that's the right thing to say when someone buys all your mud pies. Come, Horace. And so the lesson comes across as strange and strained because the cubs are taken aback that someone's actually buying all of their pies. And they can't find the words to express their thanks. It's shocking. Like, the mayor has pulled up and is buying your arts and crafts. And it seems like one of the cubs or someone else should have been the one to say that they should say thank you rather than Mrs. Honeypot herself, because it comes across as petty at that point. Like, you think she would, someone who's buying mud pies from cubs should have been able to read into the fact that they were a little shocked by what's happening. And I don't know. She seems a little stern. The face she's making is like, shouldn't you say something? I just bought all your pies. I don't know. It seems like the reminder should have been on someone else's part. Or maybe they could have just said thank you, like demonstrated their thanks. I don't know. Anyway, they make 30 cents out of it. The next story is called You're Welcome. because you detect a trend. In this one, the Bears, the Cubs are with their family. They're on the beach. And this is a classic Papa tale. And what I mean by classic Papa tale is the Cubs want to do something. Papa shows up. He's the expert. He ends up getting kind of in trouble for it. It's an original story, but it's in the vague format of one of these classic Papa tales. Now, in this one, the Cubs want to build an incredible sandcastle. And so Papa offers to help. And it's really cool. It is an incredible sandcastle. And the story kind of shows you how to do it, how to add water, how to find things to decorate the castle with, how you start off with a mound and you work your way up to a tower, and then you can build a wall and a moat. And it's really awesome. And so it's incredible. And so they say thank you to him, and he says you're welcome. And then a giant wave crashes over him and sweeps him out to sea, which is the kind of thing that happens with Papa. Although this is a new Papa, so this is not as a result of his incompetence. It's just a very strong wave. And they rescue him, and he says thank you, and they say you're welcome. And he offers to help them rebuild the awesome sandcastle. And they say thank you, and he says you're welcome. And that's it. That's it for the story. No one has to learn how to say you're welcome. And this could be for one of two reasons. One, Mike is trying to teach us all by example. Simply by watching the Cubs say you're welcome in response to thank you, we learn to say you're welcome in response to thank you. Or two, no one's really sure what you're welcome means. We discussed the origins of you're welcome last episode, but those are the etymological origins of the phrase, not like the current meaning. And these days, you're welcome is just a courtesy. It's like an answer back. It's an assumed response. But why is it important? I think we could benefit from learning what it means and to give the phrase some extra heft in the modern world. I think we need to recall that when someone says thank you, they're saying, like, I will remember my debt to you. And that you're welcome is a way of saying you are not indebted to me. It was my pleasure to do this. The only reward I need is the fact that you asked me to help in the first place. So I feel like there could be a little, no, you don't have to be all wordy like that. But I feel like Papa could say, you're welcome. I enjoy helping out. I enjoy helping you. So that's really, I'm getting as much out of this as you are. So I don't know. There's a way to phrase that in a children's story that I think would be beneficial. But also, it's a pretty cool sandcastle. And we learn a lot about building sandcastles. Also, Mama's in the story, but she disappears pretty early on. Also, Papa gets swept out to sea. And that's kind of serious. I think that warrants more than a thank you. But that's just me. Our next story is Excuse Me. The Cubs are all playing pirate on a picnic table, which is in their backyard. They have a picnic table. Now, I have friends who have picnic tables in their backyards, and it's a cool way to have family dinner outside. It's a cool add-on to your backyard, I believe. Not everyone has the room for a picnic table, but I believe if you have the room for a picnic table and the means to acquire one, picnic tables are pretty awesome. I also know people who have picnic tables as their dining room table, and that too is awesome because it eliminates the need for chairs. There's no chair rocking, there's no chair pushing in, no chair pushing out. Just a picnic table in your room. Do it up. Make it look nice. Add some cushions to the seating. You can have a nice picnic table in your kitchen. If you want to add a little back to those seats, add a little back to those seats. Make it a full-on bench. Picnic table. I heartily approve. But they have a picnic table. They've attached an umbrella to it as the sail. Sister looks like she's using a broom as like a rudder. And they have a branch they're using as an anchor and a cardboard box marked treasure. They're going to bury this treasure, which is comic books in a cardboard box. And I'm screaming at this because they want to bury a cardboard box full of comic books, which, say it with me, will destroy the comic books, rendering them unreadable. But fortunately, Too Tall and his gang show up, also dressed as pirates. And now, based on what we know of Too Tall at this point, I'm not sure if Too Tall and his gang are dressed up and they're demanding the treasure. And the Cubs look really perturbed and put out by this. I don't know if Too Tall and his gang are dressed up as because they're part of the game, or if they're dressed up as pirates independently of what's going on, and this is all just a coincidence. They don't explain that. Too Tall says, "I'm Black Bruin, King of the Pirates. Hand over that treasure." Brother says, "Curse you, Black Bruin." Oh, Brother is playing Captain Cub, by the way. So assuming that's like Captain Kidd. Also, as a pirate flag, they're using Mama's black bathing suit, which implies that Mama has a full-body black bathing suit, which also has a sash and a skirt attached to it, but Mama has a black bathing suit. They're also using long balloons as their swords, which, cute. But let's get back to Too Tall. Too Tall and his friends show up just dressed as pirates. And I don't know why they're dressed as pirates, but they demand the treasure. They kick brother and sister off the pirate table and say, you've been marooned. Brother is like, sister's like, marooned. And brother says, who are you calling a maroon? And sister's like, this just means we're stuck off of our own table. Again, I don't know whose game this is. Were Tuttle and his gang invited over? Why are they dressed like pirates? The brother and sister don't seem to have anticipated that Tuttle and his gang would be showing up, but they start reading the comic books. Brother, okay, you're probably like, why is this book? Why is this in a story about politeness? Brother says, excuse me, may we join you? And Tuttle says, sure, come aboard. So they all sit around and sing and read comic books together. And Tuttle says, it's lucky you said excuse me or I wouldn't have let you come aboard. And sister says, it always pays to be polite if you're marooned. So I'm confused. Okay, this is the Cubs' own house. Is this part of the game? Was this agreed? I don't understand. Were Tuttle and his friends invited? Whose game is this? Why did they kick the Cubs off their own picnic table in their own yard? Why were Tuttle and his friends walking through their yard in the first place? I don't understand the point of this particular story. Yes, they were. Go in and get your parents if the local town bully is kicking you out of your own backyard. I don't understand what's happening. I'm glad they worked it out. They all seem to be friends in the end. They're reading comic books. That's good. The comic books are called Fun, F-U-N-N, and Comics, C-O-M-I-X. Fun has a clown. Comics has, like, someone wearing a tracksuit. That's all I can figure out. They're reading Fun Comics. And then the story ends. So say please if bullies are after you, I guess, is the lesson. I'm sorry is the next story. I'm sorry. Snow forts. Brother and cousin Fred are building a snowman, but a bunch of other Cubs drop by and say, let's have a snowball fight. So they build snow forts. And Fred throws a snowball at sister, which hits her in the face. He says, I'm sorry. And then sister's like, you know what? It hurt, but just hearing you apologize is enough. And so sister then retaliates, which, okay, and then she disingenuously says, I'm sorry for hitting Fred with a snowball. So lesson learned, I guess. Then they all go inside for hot chocolate. Honey's with them. How old is she anyway? Like, she's participating in a snowball fight. She's not good at throwing the snowballs, but she's still there. It looks like cousin Fred. I don't even know who all the Cubs are because they're all wearing clothes, not their own clothes, like their regular clothes because they're like snowsuits and stuff. I think it's sister, Lizzie Bruin, cousin Fred, but that's it. There's just a bunch of Cubs. I don't know. In any case, say I'm sorry, even if you don't mean it. Seems to be the... Anyway, here comes my favorite. Okay, so we've had some weird stories. We've had some unusual stories. Now for the two stories that kind of make the whole book, like tie up the whole book. And these are the stories that I really like, except for the mystery story. Except for the mystery story. So the first one of those is, how are you? The Cubs are on the playground. All the Cubs, brother, sister, Lizzie, Fred, and Barry Bruin, I think. Maybe since Lizzie's there, maybe this is Barry Bruin. He's never named, but they're on what is called the Whirligig, a piece of playground equipment that I know as a merry-go-round. And I do have a story about a merry-go-round. So we had a merry-go-round. You know these. They're like the disc, and they have handles, and you push them around in a circle, and you jump on, and you ride it around a circle. Also called merry-go-rounds, also called whirligigs, also called roundabouts. We would play this game at the Oakwood Glen Park on our merry-go-round whirligig roundabout, where everyone would get on. They'd lay on their backs or on their fronts, but mostly on their backs. One person would run the merry-go-round around as fast as it could, and then everyone laying on their backs would lean back as far as they could off the merry-go-round to see how close they could get to the ground without actually touching the ground. And then you'd go faster and faster, much faster, and then finally at the last minute, you'd reach out and you'd either grab the ground or you'd just drop onto the ground and you'd let like the force of the movement like rip you off the merry-go-round and like fling you rolling and stumbling on your face into the dirt, which we thought was fun. We thought it was fun. So the Cubs are just sort of playing normally. They cry. They're going around faster, faster, much faster. Lizzie Bruin turns green and wobbles off. Now, here's the part of the story that I really enjoy. Sister asks, how are you, Lizzie? You look a little green. Lizzie says, I'm not sure how I am. I feel dizzy. How are you, sister? Sister says, I'm fine, but I'm worried about you. And Lizzie says, that's nice of you, but I'll be okay. I feel better already. Then they go play on the monkey bars. But what I like about this, sister says, how are you? And this is, she's checking on the well-being of her friend. And this is the first really useful example of courtesy in the book, because it goes beyond platitudes into actual concern for others. And that's the foundation, say it with me, you don't know what I'm going to say. The foundation of community, which is what the Berenstain Bears books are ultimately all about. The foundation of community. I am worried about you. I am concerned about you beyond how it impacts me. I'm concerned about you as a friend. I'm concerned about you because I love you. I am concerned about you because you are important, and your well-being is important to the well-being of everyone. Bam! 1-2 punch of concern. I'm worried about how are you is the first punch, which is probably a bad way to put this, but I'm worried about you. How are you? I'm worried about you. How are you? I'm fine. Well, I'm worried about you. That shows, like, I want to check in on how you're doing. And I want to let you know that I'm checking in on you because I'm genuinely concerned with how you're doing. And what's funny is Lizzie then turns around and says, how are you? Even though Lizzie's the one who's sick, her concern for sister, like, ultimately supersedes her own feelings. It's just an interesting exchange. How are you? You look a little green. I'm not sure how I am. I feel dizzy. How are you? I'm fine, but I'm worried about you. Biggity bam, 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 bam. And then they go on the monkey bars. That's one of the foundations of community. That's one of the foundations of society. That's one of the foundations of being good people and good neighbors and good friends is that simple concern, how are you? Not how are you doing? How are you? Like, hey, how are you? No, not even just that. Like a genuine, how are you doing? An important question. Ask your friends every now and then how they're doing. Like, genuinely, how are you? You'll be surprised how far that can go towards making people feel better about themselves and just knowing others are concerned. You don't even have to say, I'm worried about you. Just genuinely ask them how they're doing. I really want to know how you're doing. How are you? And then finally, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Hey, nice to meet you. No, a genuine nice to meet you. Really getting to the heart of community. So we have a new neighbor showing up in town. Cousin Fred stops by the bus stop before school to introduce brother and sister to their new neighbor from Big Bear City, Bobby Brown. Which, okay, so we had Bonnie Brown in the chapter books moving in from Big Bear City. So this is Bobby Brown. Obviously, he's a variant on Bonnie Brown, just name-wise, and he's a stranger from out of town. The Browns are, of course, related familially to the Bruins, but Bobby Brown was also, I don't even remember now, a controversial musician. Like, he's famous for having been married to Whitney Houston. They had a very, very rocky relationship. Bobby Brown. It's just an odd name. Like, there's a million other names besides Bobby Brown. Like, it's just Bobby Brown. As friends of mine pointed out online, perhaps Mike wanted to just convey the idea that this cub was too hot to handle and too cold to hold, maybe. We don't know. But Bobby Brown shows up. That's not even the point of the story. Bobby Brown shows up. The Cubs say, nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you, too, says Bobby. Hey, everyone here is really friendly. But then Too Tall shows up, and Too Tall is being a jerk because there's a new Cub in town. So Too Tall starts pushing him around and laughing at him, making fun of him, making fun of the fact that he's made friends, which is one of those weird things that, like, only Too Tall would make fun of. But then at school in gym class, Bobby Brown proves that he is super good at soccer, and suddenly Too Tall has a change of heart. It's nice to meet you. You're quite a soccer player, Too Tall says. Bobby Brown says, it's nice to meet you too, Too Tall. Enough of the polite stuff, says Too Tall. Let's play some soccer. I mean, that's a weird story. In the end, it's weird because, like, Bobby Brown had to prove himself to Too Tall in order to be accepted as a member of the community. That's weird. Kind of off message a little bit, but the foundation is important. The importance of greeting new arrivals. The importance of greeting new arrivals with no exceptions to the greeting. Just being like, it is nice to meet you. It is nice to meet a new person. It is nice to meet new people. I'm terrible at meeting new people. I'm terrible at greeting people. I am very closed off. I'm very introverted. I'm very bad at facilitating the meeting of new people. It's something I know I need to work on. It's something probably a lot of us need to work on. The simple stating of, and again, just like how are you, saying it sincerely and with actual meaning, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you. And you know what, my friends? You know what, my listeners? You know what? It is nice to meet you all. I enjoy hearing from you. I legitimately do. If you ever want to contact me with a question, you can message me on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. Drop me a line. Let me know how you feel. Let me know how you're feeling, maybe. Let me know how deep in bear country makes you feel. Let me know how deep in bear country maybe affects you. I don't know. Maybe it does. You can also write to me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com. That's an actual email account that I can read. If you want to write me a message, you can write to me there. You can leave me a message at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. Comment on an episode. Let me know how you feel. Let me know how this show makes you think about the world, if it does make you think about the world. It's my pleasure to do it. It is my pleasure to hear from you, and it is my pleasure to know that I have supportive listeners out there. And speaking of supportive listeners, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. If you subscribe to the show on patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, even if you're even if you are lovingly supplying me $1 a month, you get access to all my bonus episodes. And I've been doing quite a few bonus episodes. I dropped one just this past Wednesday for a previous episode that Alana and I finally got around to recording a bonus episode for. It's amazing. Listen to it. It was recorded in a restaurant. This one's recorded in a car. You never know where I'm going to be podcasting. But you'll be getting a bonus episode to this show covering the final story in the Berenstain Bears Say Please and Thank You, Let Me Help. And my friends, it's a doozy. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you so much for being who you are. Let me hear from you. I want to know how things are going. It's been a long time since I've asked for this, but leave a review on iTunes if you'd be so kind, or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called. I haven't seen a new review pop up in a while, and I like seeing them. I think it's cool. So and it helps. It helps me. It helps like raise my visibility, I guess. But and let people know if you like the show. Let people know. I really appreciate it. I'm kind of doing it by myself, so. It's cool to know that people are supportive out there. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all so much. And I will see you all next time deep in bear country.